بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home with the receiver, alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have reached halfway of the Holy Quran, alhamdulillah. We make shukr to Allah ta'ala. The more shukr we make, Allah ta'ala increases in this ni'mat. So we heard the 15th juz of the Holy Quran, in which we start with Surah Al-Isra. Isra is the incident of Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah starts the surah with Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from Baytullah, Masjid al-Haram, to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then from there he was taken to the seven heavens, and we know the entire incident, 27 Rajab, we hear the whole episode. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this incident of Mi'raj, Masjid al-Aqsa, the environs of Masjid al-Aqsa. It is a very blessed area. And in surah, in the 15 juz, many ayats depicting or illustrating or highlighting the importance of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not associating any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there were a few verses Allah commanded us to obey and respect our parents. So parental rights have been discussed, and that's a very famous verse where فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even tell your parents أُفْ even. Now how often we blunder, we falter, we become angry, we become upset, we say things. أُفْ is very, very small. The words we use, Allah forgive us, we hurt our parents. They make sabr, they tolerate. We don't realize, we think, we know everything. They have been through the mill. They have got much more experience than we have. Yes, as the person grows older, then the person becomes weaker. He's unable to think how when the person is young. The person cannot move when he, as he's young. This is a very nice incident. There's so many things to mention, but inshallah, let's see whatever Allah Ta'ala puts into my heart now. There's a beautiful incident where a youngster comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about his father. My father not giving me my wealth, and he's giving it to his sister or other members of the family, and depriving me. Nabi Kareem said, is that so? Bring your father. Let me speak to him. In the meantime, Allah Ta'ala inspired Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah said wahi. And Allah Ta'ala showed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the exact nature of the story, the truth. So when the person came, the youngster brought his father. Nabi asked the father, your son is complaining about you. Father just looks down. Then Rasul tells the son, but then Rasul tells the father, sorry, you had been making some couplets in Arabic. You were singing it to yourself. Mention these couplets to me. The father gets a shock of his life that this was a secret. I just made up some couplets. And nobody ever heard this couplets from me. I didn't show it to any person. I didn't read it out to any person. Only Allah Ta'ala knew. Or something, go ahead, say it. And such touching words, where the father just says, you know, addressing his son, that when you were a little boy, I nourished you, I fed you, I took care of you. He says, I can remember the nights when you were sick. And I was walking up and down, my whole night was bechain, restless. As though the sickness had come upon me. Son has got fever, but the parent is awake, checking the temperature of the child all the time. He says, then as you grew up, a young boy, strong, I had the desire, that umid, that now you'll look after me. You'll be a person who'll be an asset for me. You'll help me with my work. But you have shunned me. You're being rude to me, etc. In the end, the father says, oh my son, if you do not want to give me the rights that a father deserves, At least treat me like a neighbor. Rasulullah SAW held that youngster by his collar. He says, Anta wa maluka li abik. Go from here. You and your wealth belong to your father. Don't complain about your father. So we read these verses, and Allah Ta'ala just said, don't say uf, alif and fa. You know, this is the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, when he told the Sahaba, they don't swear your parents. His Sahaba couldn't understand. Swearing our parents? So Rasulullah then explained at that time, that you swear somebody else's parents, out of anger, you had a fight with him, so you swear his parents. So in retaliation, he swears your parents. So in essence, you were the means of swearing your own parents. Because you started with him, you initiated the fight, and you picked on his parents. So in response to that, he swore your parents. So it's as though you swore your own parents. So this was the explanation Rasul gave then. Today's time, it's not like that. Today the child is swearing his own parents, directly. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Allah protect us from all these things. You know, how you treat your parents now, that is how your children will treat you. Another incident comes to mind. Ulama have mentioned that the person is married to his wife and the old father is staying with them. It happens that, well, where does the father go? We forget. So many businesses, mashallah, booming businesses, thriving. But the sons forget by who started this business. The father, he made manner in those days was very difficult. Oh, elderly people will know. So much of barakah they had. One big table, the grandfather, all his sons, everybody will eat, uncles, nephews, all on one table. There was so much of barakah from one pot. Today, all that barakah is gone. So anyway, this person is staying with his wife and his elderly father and the wife. She keeps on nagging, oh, your father is like this, and he's messing the room, and he's doing like this, and kept on. You need to get rid of him. I can't take it, either it's me or your father. So finally, he actually takes his father one day, and is going out into the forest. And then, at a certain spot, innocent father doesn't know what's happening. And he kills his father. He comes back. When this same person became old, his son does the exact thing. The exact thing happens. And as he's going in the same place, and as he's going further, the father tells the son, "Bhai, beta, no, here." Son says, "Why?" He says, "This is where I brought my father." So again, these are things that we need to conscientize our youngsters with. Sit with them, explain to them the haqq of the parents. Haqq of the parents. Extremely important. So some said, Al-Walidu, referring to both parents. They are the awsatu abwaabil jannah. They are the middle door of Jannah. If you wish, protect it by obeying them. Or if you wish, destroy it by disobeying them. Ridha Rabbi fi ridha al-walid. Wa sukhutu Rabbi fi sukhuti al-walid. Allah's pleasure is where? In the pleasure of the parents. Of course, in those things which are within the within the limits of Sharia. If the parent commands the son to do something haram, then you don't obey. For example, if the parent says make shirk or do some haram thing, then you don't listen to the parent. That's, you don't show obedience in that, because that you are now disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's pleasure is in the pleasure of the parents, and Allah's displeasure is in displeasure of the parents. Then we did also in this beginning, so in the 15th verse, about being squandering wealth. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبَذِيرًا. Ulama give a difference between israf and tabdhir, especially for the ulama, they'll understand this. Tabdhir is spending your wealth for something which is totally haram, totally inappropriate. You're spending your wealth. That is called tabdhir. Allah says, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبَذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those who are spent thrifty, they are the brothers of shayateen. And the other one is, وَلَا تُصْرِفُ إِسْرَاف. Israf, you are spending over the limits in something which is permissible. It is permissible, but you are spending beyond the limits. Any case, in this verse, Allah Ta'ala says, do not squander wealth, do not spend in sin or in some unsuitable, inappropriate occasion. Then also Allah Subhanahu spoke about killing children. those days they should kill the children out of fear for poverty. Who's going to look after my kids? So the child is born and the parent will kill the child. So Allah Ta'ala prohibited them from that. Then adultery and fornication, I mentioned the other day, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ zina. Don't even go near to zina. In other words, don't adopt those means that will take you to zina. Allah Ta'ala also spoke about murdering a person, which is haram. Then vain pursuits, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِرٍ. Pursuing those things we have no knowledge about. We're very inquisitive. We want to know that, why he, this, futile things. There's a nice story somebody had mentioned. There's one person, he always very inquisitive. Anybody's cell phone, then he wants to pick it up and see the, what do you call it, the screen and see what's there. So one day they were sitting. This one person said, I'm going to show him a lesson. So that person puts his cell phone on the table. So immediately this person next to him grabbed the cell phone. When he grabbed the cell phone to look, very quietly put it back. And everybody saw that. So then the other friend asked him, what happened? How come he put the phone back so quickly? He said, I put on the screen there, do not be nosy. Mind your own business. The moment he saw that, quietly he put it. He learned a lesson that way. So don't pursue things which are futile. It doesn't concern us. Somebody else, his life, his worry, and now we are becoming, you know, so inquisitive. Why, when, who? Then Allah Ta'ala talks about arrogance. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk on this earth with pride. You're not going to tear the earth open. Neither are you going to reach the sky in length. Walk with humility. Also, caution in handling the wealth of yatim and orphans. Another very, very important thing. Fulfilling our covenants and promises, we discussed this already previously. Not weighing and measuring correctly. There's severe azab for this. And in other surahs, inshallah, other ayats, we'll discuss this in detail. Then also about salah, establishing salah. Right from the first, salah, 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 salah. Right through again in this surah also, Allah Ta'ala talks about salah. Then Suratul Kahf. Now Suratul Kahf is a very long surah. It needs more than 10 days to explain the different verses, lessons. Basically, the kuffar of Makkah, they went to the Yahud and asked them, see, you all know about the Torah and all. This man, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he a genuine prophet, messenger, or is he fake? So they said, ask him 3 questions, and from there, if he gives the right answer, he's a genuine messenger. Otherwise, he's fake, he's bogus. What are the 3 questions? Ask him about the story of the youngsters of the cave. Because that was something that happened years ago. It was in the Torah. And it's impossible for him to just know the story. Because he doesn't know the Torah. And ask him about the one who ruled the world, Dhul Qarnain. And ask him about the Ruh. So, when this Quraysh asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, I will tell you the answer tomorrow. Obviously waiting for wahi. But Rasulullah did not say inshallah. He forgot to say inshallah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشِينَ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا إِيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. So Allah Ta'ala did not send wahi. Rasulullah was worried. How are you going to give the answer? These people will think I'm a fake messenger. After 2 weeks, then wahi came down. Of course Allah Ta'ala then explained to Rasulullah, he should have said inshallah. And then all these qisas and incidents were mentioned. Because the various virtues regarding Suratul Kahf, person who reads Surah Kahf, he'll be protected from Dajjal when Dajjal emerges. What greater benefit? Read Surah Kahf on every Friday. Read Surah Kahf on a Friday, inshallah, if Dajjal emerges, you'll be able to make out Dajjal. You'll recognize Dajjal. You'll see the kafara on his forehead. And Rasul said, if you see Dajjal also, read Surah Kahf. And you'll be safe. Whoever memorizes the first 10 verses, another rewrite got the last 10 verses, Osima min ad-Dajjal, he'll be protected from Dajjal. So read Surah Kahf, try and memorize the beginning verses, the end verses. Also in the day of Qiyamah, there'll be nur for the person from his feet right to the sky. So there are great benefits in reciting Surah Al-Kahf. Basically, there are 4 incidents, main incidents mentioned there. Very quickly, we're going to go through this. One is the people, the youngsters of the cave. They stood up on Iman. In other words, the people in their town, they were involved in shirk. And these youngsters realized that this is not right. So they broke away from their home, from their people, and they came under a tree. So within minutes, there were 7, 8 of them under this tree, each one not knowing why the other one came. Each one is silent, but he broke away from there, and he came under this tree, and he's pondering, reflecting, what he's going to do, how he's going to move away from his own family, and his relatives, and his town. And after some time, one person broke the ice. Why? We're all sitting here for some time. There must be some reason. Why have we come here? Let me tell you why I have come. And each one had the exact reason why they came. Allah Ta'ala made it such. So, we have to break away from the evil practices, you know, of kufar, shirk, and those which are sin. Move away from there. Then, when the king came to know, and he was a very oppressive ruler, and he gave them a warning. If you don't renounce this iman that you have brought in Allah, and you don't go back to worshipping idols, then me, I'm going to execute you and kill you. But they stood, إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They stood up very, very firmly and bravely. And this is the test on iman. This is the test on iman. When a person has to be brave in front of oppression, has to be prepared to face the various trials. Why? For the sake of belief, aqidah, iman. So they stood and they were not bothered. And of course Allah Ta'ala then made, inspired them to flee the night, flee at night, and they sought refuge in a cave. And in the cave, whilst they were moving, a dog followed them. And they thought they'll chase the dog away, but it refused and it followed them. So they allowed the dog to come. And Allah had made this intizam for them, an arrangement, that while they're in this cave, this dog sat in front of the entrance of the cave, guarding them. And then they slept there for approximately 309 years. They were not dead. Allah Ta'ala made them sleep. A person sleeps for 5-6 hours or more than that. After some time, your side pains, so you move to the next side. And after some time, you keep on changing the karwat, as we say. Allah Ta'ala will just change them this way, that way. The sun's rays will never shine directly on them, just away from them. So their bodies won't smell, they won't perspire. They were fast asleep. And after such a long time, they wake up. How long did we sleep here? Somebody said one day, some said half a day, whatever it is. Insan, when he wakes up after a long time, first thing, stomach make gurgur. He's hungry. Yeah, let's go buy some food now. So one of them will go, and go quietly, very politely, discreetly, make sure that otherwise they'll catch us out. And the poor fellow, he didn't know, 309 years they were there. He goes to purchase the food, the storekeeper says, hey, hang on, this coin is a rare coin. A very long, over 300 years coin, where you got this from? He takes them to a new king who had come. The other king was a tyrant. He passed away. He died. This new king was a very pious king. And at that very moment, there were two groups of people. They could not understand after a person dies, how he will be raised, resurrected. So he tried to explain to them. Some understood, some couldn't understand. He was making dua to Allah, Ya Allah, you show me some way that these people will understand. And when this happened, then he summoned them. And they came, they were afraid. Then this was a very pious king, and he opened his treasures and he saw the names that there were seven youngsters who had brought iman and they escaped from the people. It's a long story. And then he honored them. And after that, they passed away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows in this particular incident the trial and tribulation of faith, iman, and how a person has to be very firm and steadfast. And once you make up your mind, then you're going to be very firm in that resolve. So in the month of Ramadan, I made up my mind, and I'm not going to commit a certain sin. I've been involved in the sin now. I'm making tawbah istighfar. I made this resolve. Now whatever happens, I am going to make sure I don't go back to the sin. When it comes to matters of iman, aqidah, deen, we must be very, very firm. We must be firm. Don't ever compromise your deen. Don't ever compromise your deen. We have to be firm. Then the time of youth is the time for making changes. Many times a youngster, he feels and he believes, I'm going to pass away like after when I'm 60, 70 years old. So now, let me enjoy my life. And parents also spoil the children. Yeah. You see, Ajul Allah, child is still small. Let him enjoy herself. She's my only daughter. I mean, what's there? Nothing. Don't be so hard. Understand? Small children, mashallah, in good homes, they start wearing a scarf from small. So others, the relatives will mock them. Oh, whatever, making them be parda from now. No, don't do that. It's wrong. MashaAllah, those parents are concerned about the tarbiyah of their children. They are concerned. So let them do the correcting. If you can't do it, don't find faults with deen and the tarbiyah of others who are showing that love for their children. Any case, the time for you, this is the time for making the change. In Arabic, they say, Layta shababa ya'udu. The old man, and his one leg is in the qabar, he says, how I wish my youth can return to me. It's an impossible thing. Kalas, it's over. So, whilst you are young, don't think I'll live so long. And we've seen recently how many youngsters have passed away. Allah give us a good maut on iman. But this is the time, this is the time. And very important, good companionship, good suhbat. That dog just joined the company of these boys. Wakalbum. Now people start asking, what's the name of this dog? What color was the dog? Those are all irrelevant questions. The fact that this dog accompanied these youngsters, this dog, wakalb, kalb in Arabic means dog, wakalbuhum, and their dog. Wasn't their dog, they didn't own the dog, but the dog joined them. So, till Qiyamah, Suratul Kahf, we'll find that this is going to be read. And no Hafizab can skip this word or skip this verse. Can't skip this verse. Otherwise, the Taraweeh is not made. Quran not complete. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. Then, how Allah Ta'ala protects His faithful servants. How He honors them. How He protects them. So, Allah Ta'ala protected in this way. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has shown us in this Surah Kahf. I think we'll stop here. The others will try and do it tomorrow. It's quite late. Just do the one more of Sayyidina Musa Islam and Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. When Sayyidina Musa Islam was in Bani Israel, and they asked him, who is Alamun Nas, the most knowledgeable of all people? So innocently, and he was correct in that way, he felt like from the Bani Israel, he was the most knowledgeable. He says, Anami. But Allah Ta'ala did not want him to say that. He should have attributed knowledge to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah shows, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every alim and knowledgeable person is somebody else who got more knowledge. So in this whole incident, comes in Bukhari Sharif, when Khadir and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, so Allah Ta'ala tells Musa, go to a certain place. Beautiful story. Please brothers, read it. See the translation in the tafsir. It's a long story that how Musa alayhi salam goes with his attendant and they have a fish, and Allah says where the fish will come out of the basket. That's the place where you need to meet this person. And they forget. And then they move on, and then they realize, that's where we're supposed to meet the man. They come back following the traces. They meet Khadir. Khadir is very stern, strict, disciplined. Please, you're joining me, don't ask me any questions. Musa said, okay. But he saw very, very strange things. Strange things. Like Khadir strangling a little boy's neck. The boat, the ferry that took them for free, Khadir is knocking it and making holes there. Musa is saying, but what are you doing? Khadir told him, bhai, you won't have patience with me. I told you. لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَيَا sabri. So now, last chance. Then they come to a place, a village, and they ask him for food. Not a single person entertained them. But as they're coming out the wall that is protecting this village from the floods, it's about to collapse, and Khadir is holding that and cementing the wall and keeping it firm. Musa is not bhai. These people were so stingy, they never look, give us one plate of food, and you are being so kind to them. Now, Khadir said, this is the end. But I'll give you enough chance. Allah wanted to show Musa, see, you don't have knowledge of everything. This banda of mine, I gave him knowledge which you don't have. And he doesn't have knowledge which somebody else has. But so in this story of Musa and Khadir, we learn humility and the trial of knowledge. Sometimes the person thinks, I know everything. I'm the greatest mufti. I know all the answers. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali was asked a question. Imam Malik, Fasara Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, whole night with us. Brothers, is when you take these people's names, these were the real friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali was the Imam of Madina Munawwara. And somebody asked him a question. You know, he had thousands of students teaching hadith and He said, La Adri, I don't know the answer. I said, another question. La Adri. Third question, fourth question, I don't know. 12 questions I asked him, I don't know. He didn't feel shy to say, I do not know. He didn't just give some answer. What the people would think, I don't know my answers, I don't know my maslas, what can imams up I am? But you do not know it, you don't know it. So you go and check up, and then you come back to the person. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Don't for nothing, put some answer. Or the easiest way out, in this masla, there's difference of opinion. So any case, we learn about humility also. That Allah Ta'ala shows, and Musa Salam was humble. He humbled himself, and he went out in quest of knowledge. Inshallah, the other two incidents tomorrow. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallahi bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.